You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money Markets podcast, US Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell threatened with criminal action. Consumers in Australia spending, what does it mean for interest rates? And we take a look at the investment themes for 2026. All that and more next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 12th of January 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200, 8,759. That's an increase of 0.5%. It's now at its highest point so far this year. The best performing sector today, consumer discretionary, after some better than expected retail numbers coming from the ABS, which we'll tell you about in a few moments. Consumer staples and healthcare doing well. Energy also up. 9 of the 11 sectors finishing stronger on the S&P ASX 200, the worst performing utilities down by 1.8%. The best performer on the market, though, Light and Wonder, surging almost 18% today. It's a gaming company and it settled legal action with one of its rivals, Aristocrat. So shares rising by almost 18% there. Catapult Sports doing well, up 6.5%. And Ramelius Resources, a gold producer, up by 6.2%. The worst performers on the 200 today include Drone Shield, shares down by 4%. Super Retail Group, despite those positive industry numbers, shares down 5.2%. It saw some margin pressure at one of its stores, Rebel Sport, there because it had to discount quite heavily to attract shoppers. Mesoblast, the worst performing sector today, down by 7%. But the big news was this legal action against US Fed Chairman Jerome Powell by the US administration. To tell us more about that, I spoke with Kyle Rodder, a senior financial market analyst at Capital.com. So, Kyle, firstly, the US Fed Chair Jerome Powell has been threatened with a criminal investigation by US prosecutors. It's in part to his handling of the Fed Reserve's office renovations and claims of it being mishandled. Powell, however, says this is more about intimidation from Donald Trump and the fact the Fed hasn't lowered interest rates as much as Trump would like it to. So, what's the market reaction been like? What are the implications? And are there concerns that this could undermine market confidence?
There was reaction in markets. The dollar was weaker, US futures were lower, and there is legitimate concerns that this undermines what is a bit of a sacred thing in financial markets, which is Fed independence, and that will lead to poor policy outcomes in the longer run, and as a result, less faith in US assets. So effectively, the markets don't believe this to be done in good faith by the Department of Justice or the White House. I think the markets were, at least initially, very surprised with how pointed the response was from Jay Powell, more or less explicitly stating what has already and always been kind of known, that this is an attempt by the White House to have an influence over monetary policy. And there is a nervousness there that this is the beginning of a nasty saga that will lead to greater tension between the two institutions. And again, poor policymaking outcome. So there's a reaction. It'll be significant. It doesn't look like this will be the end of it either.
Okay, so run us through what the US economy is really like then. We've seen gold hit another record today following US jobs data at the weekend. As you mentioned too, that US dollar has softened following these threats of criminal action. Is the US economy on track for interest rate cuts anyway?
The markets are still pricing in interest rate cuts. The jobs data was really interesting because you had a bit of a mixed picture being painted. There was lower than expected jobs being added to the economy, but a drop in the unemployment rate. Both of those numbers get taken from different surveys, so sometimes there's just sort of technical reasons as why they differ. But there's this kind of question at the moment, especially given the fact that, you know, retail activity is really strong in the United States. GDP growth has been really strong. You know, there's a bit of persistence in inflation there as well, although it has come down a little bit. We'll get an update on that this week. That the labor market might be driven less by perhaps demand side factors, employers not hiring people because they don't want to, but it could be actually a bit of a supply shock here, or, you know, that could be a big reason for it as well, which is to say that, you know, maybe immigration policies or even artificial intelligence could be having this effect of, you know, less hiring, but still a lower unemployment rate. So I mean, overall, actually, the market's priced in a lower implied probability at the margins that the Fed would be cutting interest rates, and that the pause that the Fed would be embarking on in the first part of the year would be a little bit longer than previously thought because of this particular jobs data. But in saying that, market participants are still reasonably confident that rates will be cut this year, and there's still two interest rate cuts being baked into the rates curve as we speak.
Okay, what about Australian interest rates? Some interesting stats from the ABS today. It says that household spending rose 1% in November. That includes the Black Friday sales. It means it's up more than 6% over the past year. That's the fastest growth in about 2 years. But some companies like Rebel Sport have to discount pretty heavily to get customers. That's what they said today, and that it's impacting margins. So what's all this saying about the consumer, and then at the same time, the potential for interest rates to still at least be on hold in Australia? Because isn't the market sentiment that if anything's going to happen, it'll go up?
The markets are still pricing in a hike this year. The inflation data, and more importantly, some comments from Andrew Houser last week, watered down the expectations of a rate hike and sort of suggested maybe the RBA will be more inclined to keep rates on hold for an extended period. I think with the data that we got today, there's, more or less kind of two related questions here. What is the trend in the improvement in household activity and consumption in particular? Because we have seen that probably because of a combination of both monetary and fiscal policy, that household activity did pick up throughout last year and was in a slightly better state than it had been in the past. The other thing, though, in November is, like you said, we had the sales period, the Black Friday sales period. We also had a fairly extraordinary mix of live events that happened across some major capitals, which probably contributed to the uptick in spending as well. So there was a good set of numbers here about the household sector today. It's questionable whether this will be something that reverts a little bit in December. And I think what markets are trying to get a bit of a sense of is what the underlying trend is here. Ultimately, if you take it back to basic supply and demand, there is the sense that even if demand is a little bit weaker than previously thought or is still a little bit anemic, that it still exceeds aggregate supply in the economy, and therefore inflation is going to remain a little bit hot, and that rate hikes are a very significant possibility. For now, it's a wait and see kind of dynamic. But if you look at the balance of risks, the markets are pointing to another hike somewhere down the line, notwithstanding what's happening with households.
Okay, so despite the potential for higher interest rates here, all this uncertainty with economic policy in the US, there's geopolitical issues still in the world, yet the Australian share market is up to start the new week. It's actually at the highest point so far in 2026. So what's driving it?
Well, it was a strong Wall Street lead, and I think, that's really good, especially as we're at the start of 1 year, and reflecting on last, is to sort of look how the market performed obviously last year and how it might augur for the year ahead. Still, on an absolute basis, the market is performing okay in Australia. It was obviously up last year. It continues to sort of grind higher at the start of this year. But we continue to underperform global counterparts, especially in the United States, but other parts of the world as well, Europe and Asia and what have you. So on a relative basis, we're not doing fantastically. So it was almost a little microcosm of that dynamic today, where we saw Wall Street up on Friday night, a strong lead largely driven by the fact that there's expectations of continued strong growth over there, continued strong profits in the United States, continued AI monetization and the broadening out of the benefits of AI, payoffs from the technology itself. Earnings season's coming around the corner. Investors are looking pretty optimistic there. We had Wall Street at record highs on Friday night. The ASX 300 follows suit with that, but it's still not at its own record highs. It didn't gain quite as much as we saw on Wall Street, so it's sort of being sort of led in the slipstream, but certainly not outperforming. So that's really all it is for the ASX 200 at the moment. There are pockets of strength, but for the most part, we're doing well, but just not as well as the rest of the world.
And given we're already heading into the third week of the new year, this might be the last time I ask this specific question to my market guests this year. Can you get your crystal ball out? What do you think the key investment themes are for 2026?
Well, I think just to be, very relevant to the news of the day, obviously geopolitics is a big one. And I think that's become more relevant over the first few weeks of the year. But if you sort of zoom out and look at what investors have been really sort of grappling with at a sort of a macro high level, it's AI still, but in particular that this year really has to be the year that the payoffs from AI are delivered both in terms of corporate earnings, which investors are pricing in, but also economic benefits as well, which if you sort of read between the lines of the last Fed decision, for example, there was a lot of talk about the productivity growth that AI may generate and therefore, you know, the continued growth and productivity and still disinflation that that should deliver. The other thing we should look at too is the relative performance between economies and a decoupling between major economies around the world and a desynchronization when it comes to economic activity as well. On top of that, monetary policy. We're talking about, like we did before, interest rate hikes in Australia potentially this year. The Bank of Japan hiked interest rates at the end of last year. But there are other economies around the world that are in the doldrums. China is still battling deflation potentially. The United States looking to potentially cut interest rates further. So that kind of very messy and mixed picture will be something else investors are grappling with. I think AI valuations will still be the big one. But then, yeah, that sort of policy divergence across the world and geopolitics, probably the three big things that stick out in my mind.
Kyle Rotter there from capital.com, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you enjoy it, click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.